Somebody say glory fall. Come on, somebody say glory fall. One more time, real loud, glory fall. Man, we've been seeing amazing things. I shared with you some incredible testimonies last week, but today it is an honor and a privilege, and I'm so excited to invite a good friend of mine to come and share with you a message that fits right into this series. His name is Mark Payne, and everybody said, well, is he related to you? And I said, well, we're twin brothers from different mothers, but we got the same daddy. And Brother Mark comes to us from the Orlando area in Florida, where he's a pastor there at No Limits Church. He is an anointed man of God. I cannot wait for you to hear what he's going to share with you today. But what I love about him most is he's a great friend, but he is an amazing husband and the world's most awesome daddy. And those are the two most greatest things I could ever say about another man. I don't care what they accomplish. If we win the world to Jesus and leave our families behind, it don't matter. Would y'all give Mark a big victory welcome this morning as he comes?
Amen. Can we welcome Jesus in the house today? Amen. How many love Jesus here this morning? As you can tell from the accent, I was born in New York. I'm just kidding. I'm a Tennessee boy, so I'm a country boy. So a country boy don't dress up too bad, does it? It's all right, right? I feel better in some jeans and just a t-shirt, but I came here, I had to dress up a little bit because your pastor, whoo, makes me look bad. Y'all know y'all have some of the best-looking pastors in all of America, right here. Pastor Josh and Pastor Marsha and Anna and Zoe are the first family, as I like to call them, of Victory Church. And how many know that you put your life in great hands? I'm going to wait for somebody to say amen, because where I come from, we love our pastors. Amen. It's okay. I'm just going to start off right off the bat. It's okay if you say amen. It won't scare me, I promise. And also, it makes me preach less time if you say amen. So if you want to be out of here really quickly, just say a lot of amens. And you ain't got to even like it. I don't care if you even like the message. Just say amen, and I'll think you like it, and we'll get done quicker. Amen? But it's just a pleasure to be here today. I knew this was a great church because great pastors produce great leaders. And everyone in this house are great. All the way down from the greeters to the ushers to those that are on the stage to those that work behind the scenes. You guys are excellent. And I know that comes from a vision of excellence. So I want to tell you from the bottom of my heart, thank you for supporting the Payne family. Thank you for giving of your time to come here on Sunday and Wednesday and support the vision, because they have a vision that is going to come to pass, but they need hands and feet. So I came here to say thank you for being the hands and the feet of Victory Church today. I know some of you are thinking, how long is this introduction? I could sit here all day and tell you how great your pastors are and tell you how great you are. But I came to tell you how great Jesus is. I didn't come just to build up man. I came to build up Jesus. I came for the one that gave his life on a cross over 2,000 years ago so that I may be free. Can somebody say amen? Now, what you don't know about me, I'm a passionate man. So if you've got a problem with passion, you ain't going to like this. But if you don't, you like somebody who believes in the word that he's preaching, then you've got the right man up here, baby. I may be Southern, but I still brought something for you. Is that all right? But I want to thank you. Brother John took me out yesterday. He's a Penn State fanatic, as most of you know. But he took me out and treated me great. And Pastor, the reason I knew you were a great man, I've known you for a long time, but the way I knew you were a great man is by how people talk about you. Those that know you, that are close to you, know what kind of vision and what kind of man you are. And I just want to encourage you, if nobody tells you enough, I love you. You've got heaven's attention. And what you're about to walk into today is going to be a new level for you. Can somebody say amen? Amen. All right, turn with me if you will. I'm going to start preaching. Is that all right? I got my timer down here, so I'm going to try to be done really quickly. So just say amen. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right, turn with me to Psalms 92, beginning in verse number 10. I tell people that I sweat a lot and I preach myself ugly, and it's not a very long time to do that. Thank you for laughing. I know I'm not as good looking as your pastor, but it's going to be over. If this is your first time being here, I'm just here to tell you, you didn't need anybody to fill in the pulpit. That's not why I'm here. You've got one of the greatest preachers in all of America in the pulpit every Sunday. Amen. And if you're a visitor today or a guest, we're so glad to have you. We love you. But please come back to hear how it's supposed to be done next week when Pastor Josh gets up in the pulpit. Can somebody say amen? Could anybody use anything new in your life? Could anybody use a new perspective, maybe a new dimension, maybe a new joy, a new peace in your life? Maybe a new car. Can somebody say amen? Maybe a new job or a new pay raise. Can somebody, am I in the right place? Can you use something new today? Well, good. I came to the right place because glory is about to fall. Pastor preached the first week, the power of praise. And then he taught you how to pray. I spit. So you're good. I think you got a lot of time. Then it was a power of prayer. And then you had last week, I think you talked about moving a mountain. I came today to go right in with that. Psalms 92, verse 10, and this is for you, Zoe. But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. Did you know a unicorn was in the Bible? Another translation says wild ox, but Zoe likes unicorns. So unicorn, what it means is you shall lift up my head. And my power and my strength and my victory. And it says, I shall be anointed. Now, anointed seems scary, right? Because you hear that's a church word. Anointed means to be set apart for God's service. He said, I shall be anointed with stale oil. I shall be anointed with the old stuff. I shall be anointed with the leftover. Is that what it says? Okay, let's read this again. But when I say I, when we read this part, I want you to put your name in it. Okay? So in other words, I would say Mark shall be anointed. So it says, but my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. Mark. Okay, we'll try it again. 1, 2, 3. Mark shall be anointed with fresh oil. Now, the term fresh oil is found in the Bible 21 times. And what it means is, it means it's parallel to olive oil. Did you know it takes an olive 20 years to produce oil? It's parallel because it means a new wine. And if you had oil in the Bible, it was a symbol of prosperity and blessing. But if you lacked oil, it was a sign of judgment. So I don't know about you, but when it says fresh oil, it also means a green oil. One that has never been poured or used before. Could anybody use something new in your life? Now, some of y'all, you got to understand, they used oil to anoint kings in the Bible. They also took it, and if we were doing this today, they would anoint or pour oil on every instrument, every pew, every altar. They covered everything with oil to be used for God. So if you're going to be used by God and have your life changed, you don't need somebody else's old oil. You need a fresh oil. Now, some of you look confused. Pastor said glory means what? The presence of God. Let me take the mysterious thing out of it. The oil of God is nothing but the Spirit of God. So when I say oil, you know I'm talking about the Spirit of God. And I came here to deliver a word this morning. I didn't come here to preach. I came here to deposit. So if you're ready for an oil change, you came to the right place. So if you're ready, I'm ready. And if you're ready, God's ready. So if you're ready for something new in your life that'll take you to your next level, then you better get ready. And I want you to touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, you need a fresh oil for a now season. No, see, you need a fresh oil. Look at your other neighbor and say, neighbor, you need a fresh oil for a now season. Now, Heavenly Father, I ask you, the words that I speak should not be mine own, but they shall be divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit. Let them go forth and hit the mark in the hearts of the listener, Lord, in the ears of a listener. Lord, we ask you that they will learn that there's no limits in you. And Lord, we're going to walk out of here shouting with victory. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Now, I'm almost done with my introduction, so you're good. A few years ago, the Rose Bowl Parade, I should be down there. A few years ago, the Rose Bowl Parade came to a screeching halt, Michael, because one of the floats ran out of oil. Now, that don't sound like nothing. I mean, it happens. But what you don't know is the float belonged to the Standard Oil Company, which is the largest oil company in the world. Now, we think that's funny, but we come to church, and if there's one place that should have the Spirit of God operating, it should be the church. But then there's sometimes when life makes us run out of oil. We stop letting the Spirit of God move, and we start trying to do things on our own. Have you ever tried to change your own oil? Anybody in here? I changed my own oil. I was going through a time in my life that my world was upside down. People, church people were driving me crazy. I didn't know what to do. So I decided I was going to go out and I was going to change the oil in my car. And when I did, I bought this oil. You got that first picture of that Quaker State oil? Now, it don't look that great up there, but it's the Quaker State 5W30 Peak Performance. I'm not endorsing Quaker State, but I did like the way it says peak performance, because I knew that if anybody needed some peak performance at that time in my life, it was me. So I was going to just start changing my oil. But before I did, Pastor, I turned over and looked at the back. And when I did, it freaked me out, y'all, because God began to speak to me right from here. And I'm going to take all my points today right out the back of the bottle. And I'm going to use motor oil because I heard y'all like cars up in here. Who likes cars up in here? So the first thing, and if you're taking notes, I want you to take notes, because I believe that everybody takes notes goes to heaven. If you don't take notes, I don't know about you, but those that take notes go to heaven. And I talk fast, so write fast, all right? But the first thing I want to tell you, in order to get fresh oil in your life, it says right there, can somebody read that for me? Can anybody see that? If you can't see it, I'll read it. Friction, the toughest enemy your engine faces. Has anybody ever known that to be true in your life? Has friction ever come into your life and tried to stop your advancement? Oh, come on now. Y'all can talk back to me. This ain't a sad message. This is a good message. Friction comes in and tries to stop your church growth, your personal growth, and your emotional growth. Come on. And if you're having friction with somebody in here, don't look at them. Friction means a conflict or a clash. It means a trial. It means an argument. It means simply an opposing view. Let me say it like this. It's clashing between what you want to do and what you know you should do. Friction. How many married people I got in here? Raise your hand. How many parents I got in here that I know I'm not alone? I'd like to say in my 17 years of marriage and my two children, I've never had any friction. But how many know if I said that, I'd be a liar and y'all be throwing stones at me, because that's not true. I'd like to say I've never had any loud discussions, if you will, with my children or my wife. But that wouldn't be true, Because there's one thing I've learned in my 45 years, I know you've been wondering how old I was, 45 years of living, it's that you can't avoid friction. You can't avoid conflict. You can't avoid things trying to come against you and stop your forward progress to moving to what you're supposed to move in God. Now, what makes me say that? Because y'all look depressed now. I didn't say it. The Bible said it. In John 16:33, it says, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. We stop right there. Most people stop right there, Pastor. But I'm here to tell you something. I'm here to encourage you. It says in this life, you will have trials and sorrows. But what it does not say is that trials and sorrows have to have you. I'm going to say that again. It says you will have trials and sorrows, but trials and sorrows and friction don't have to have you. You don't have to accept them as the way of life for your life. You don't have to say, well, that's the way mama did, that's the way daddy did, I'm going to live just like them. No, it don't have to work that way. Because God did not wire us that way. You can't let friction become your prediction and proclamation. Some people, you meet them, you don't know who they are, you just know their circumstance. Has the enemy ever tried to do that to you? Has the enemy ever tried to steal your victory when somebody comes up and say, how you doing? Oh, it's bad. Let me just teach you something. That kind of talk will stop your transmission. Let me tell you what to say instead. I don't care if your arm's falling off. When somebody asks you, how's it going? Wonderful. Awesome. Oh, I'm in this church. I say, how's it going? I've got victory. Why? Because that begins to change your whole atmosphere, and then the friction that was caught, that was coming to stop you now is propelling you. All right. I'll get you free here in a second. It'll be all right. How many know the reason that the enemy brings friction? It's only for one reason. Division. The enemy brings friction into your life to divide your life. He comes to bring friction to divide your joy, divide your peace, divide your mind, divide your marriage, divide your money. Oh, come on now. But what he works on is he comes in to steal, it's called division. He sends friction to divide you from the vision that God places in your life, because if he can know he can affect what you see, he will destroy what you can be. I'm going to say that again. If he affects what you can see, then he can destroy what you can be. Because faith is seeing that thing that is not there already. So if he can divide the vision from your life, he can stop you from being what God called you to be. And then all of a sudden, you no longer exist to reach our world with the gospel of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now you divide it. But let's keep going. Because I didn't come here to get you down. No, I'm going to say this anyway. I got time. 4,300 people saved. More than that. In 14 years. Over 600 this year. That's a vision. But that is not the end of the vision. That is only the beginning of the vision. Because I said I came here to talk to a now season. That means no opportunity wasted. I came to tell Victory Church, you've not even begun to see what God is going to do through your life. You've only seen the beginning and just touching what you... Okay, I'm getting too excited. I think I'm at my own church. Okay, second thing. Put it up there, please. What's your name back there? Jen? Thank you, Jen. You're doing an awesome job. Dylan, do an awesome job. Everybody else, I don't know your name. Number two, it can reduce engine life and rob you of power. Let me explain that to you. If you let it, friction will come in and cut down your productivity. It'll come in and stop your longevity. How do I know this? Stress is one of the number one killers of people in the world. I'm glad I'm not with any stressed people today. Nobody worries in here, I know. I'm just by myself. I think I'm in Florida. I'm just by myself. But have you ever been stressed out so bad or heard about somebody, maybe your friend, was stressed out so bad that they begin to do stupid things? All of a sudden, they begin to misfire on the vision that God gave them. They used to be faithful, but now they've fallen off. Is this too real? And you begin to misfire in your life. But I came here to tell you something. If you allow friction, it'll stop your engine cold. It'll halt you right in the middle of what God is calling you to do. And what once was productive now is destructive. What once was all good decisions, now you want to know where God is because you feel like you're on the backside of the desert. Am I by myself in there? I just want to make I'm talking to somebody. Just wave at me. If it's ever been you, don't let anybody see you. But if it's ever been you, it'll come in and it'll stop your engine life. Then it messes with the durability, ability, and stability of your life and ministry because it begins to diminish the call that God has placed on you. It's still there, but you're not operating in it because you've got a blocked engine. Okay, y'all don't want to hear that. Y'all don't want to hear that. Okay, I'll get back to something else. Some of you today, I feel God sent me here because you're there. You ain't got to tell nobody you're there. You don't want nobody to know you're there. And friction isn't about having clash with somebody else. Sometimes friction is what's going on the inside of you. And then all of a sudden, it robs your engine, it reduces your engine life. Then it robs you of power. Have you ever been in a position where you go to hit and it don't respond? Anybody been there? Pastor, you ever felt that every time and time? You're trying to do something, all of a sudden you don't have a power you used to have. But I came to encourage you. Acts 1:8 says that you should have power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So that means that when the enemy tries to rob you of power through friction, you got to say, go somewhere else, devil, because you ain't going to have no place in my life. So if the enemy's been robbing you of relationships, the enemy's been robbing you of victory, the enemy's been robbing you of joy, of peace, and long-suffering and patience, it's time to stand up in the face of the devil and say, devil, go back to hell where you came from. You ain't going to mess with this child of God. I came today, and I'm not going to let friction stop my transmission. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever had a period of victory that everything you did just went right? Then all of a sudden something came in your life, whether it be a habit, whether it be somebody else's opinion. I know we don't worry about that here, but somebody else's opinion. And then all of a sudden you get your head stuck up your own past. No, I said past. And then all of a sudden, yesterday has creeped into today. And friction has a way of making you live in yesterday and stealing your today and having no future tomorrow. You don't think the enemy thinks you're valuable? Why would he be trying to stop you if you weren't going nowhere? So some of you are fighting things and you're going, I don't want to fight no more. And God's saying, I'm only putting you through it because I'm taking you to something that's going to be far greater than you've ever experienced in your life. But if you continue to let your past steal your present and rob you of your future, then you're going to be stuck on the side of the road watching everybody else go by and wondering, when in the world of God am I going to get my shot? So what do you need if you go through those situations? That was the part of the sermon that was not fun. because I talk to you right where you're at. But can I just speak to you where you're going? Because if it keeps going, keep going. Number three, keep going. There you go. It says number three right there. Can you see it? It says, that's why Quaker State 5W30 peak performance is power engineered to reduce friction. Oh, you thought I preached you into a jail and slammed the door? No, I was just getting you to a point where you realize that you've had some friction in your life. But now I came to tell you, there's something that's been power engineered by Jesus Christ himself to reduce friction in your life. If you've got some friction in your life, all you got to do, baby, is get you some peak performance fresh oil. If you've been living on yesterday's oil and wondering why it ain't working today, it's time to get some fresh oil in your life so that you can move forward into what God has. You said, what does it mean to be power engineered? I'm glad you asked me. It's where they take all the ingredients and they test them and they produce something, a formula that you can put in your engine that will cause it to run and not let anything stand in its way. I gotta hurry. I told you there's an oil. It's been power engineered by Jesus Christ himself. What has it been put into it? Hope, joy, peace. Come on, somebody, talk back to this preacher and let me know I'm not by myself this morning. Peace, joy, long-suffering. Can somebody say amen? Truth has been put in this oil so that when you come against the things of life, the things that want to stop you, it's been power engineered to make you run. I'm about to preach now. Is that all right? I ain't been preaching yet. Y'all ready to preach it? Who do I have? Michael, what's your name? Come here, Michael. It's been power engineered. I'm running out of time on my third point. It makes things flow better. Would you get down on your knees for me? Would you get down on all fours? The shepherds, back in the Bible days, what they would do is they would bring the sheep into the stall. I don't have a rod, but if I had a rod, they would bring them up and they would put their rod through here and put their feet up. And then they would take some oil. I'm not going to do it, Miss Marsha, because I know this is pretty, too pretty here. You want me to do it? Michael, you ain't got no friends. No, listen. What they would do is they would bring the sheep in. You got another shirt somewhere? Somebody bring you? They would bring them in and put the sheep like this. And they would begin to anoint them. They would let the oil flow down until it covered them. Why would the shepherds do this? They would do this because they know that they had to take the sheep up in mountainous regions. And they knew that there were going to be rocks there. And they knew that if they didn't have something on them, when they came to the rocks, they would get stuck. But if they had some oil on them, what they once would be stuck in, they would just slide right through. So why do you need a fresh oil in your life? Because God says, I want to pour something on you that when you should be stuck, you're just going to slide right through your situation. That's what oil does. But also they knew that if the sheep got cut, they knew if they poured the oil on them, they knew that when they got cut by the rocks, that oil would go down. Thank you so much. The oil would go down. I did it because I'm jealous of your beard. But listen, the oil would go down and seep into the cut and heal the cut so that it would not kill the sheep. The word of God says we are the sheep of his pasture. Am I wrong? What God wants to do is pour something on you that'll cause you to slip through things. But if you do get caught and you get cut, he wants to let you know it's been power engineered to seep down in the cut and heal that cut. I was hurt at my last place where I worked. I was hurt by my last relationship. I was hurt by my last church. Well, baby, you ain't got to worry about it because he already poured the oil on you. And when you get a fresh oil, you're not going to remember it because it's already been healed. Thank you, Michael. Oh, yeah, sure. Let's keep going. The fourth thing. Am I doing okay, Pastor? Time okay? Quaker State's formulation can improve engine performance. It can make you a better husband. It can make you a better wife. I'm gonna get down right where you're at. It can make you a better volunteer. It can make you a better employee. It can make you a better son. It can make you a better daughter. Why? Because when you got the oil on you, people are going to be looking for you. Because everywhere you walk, you're going to have favor. Everywhere you walk, you're going to be blessed. Everywhere you walk, they're going to say, there's something different about you. You must go to Victory Church, because I met somebody yesterday that went to Victory Church. Whatever they had on them, you got on you. Because it improves your performance. All of a sudden, you're playing your instrument, and you're singing better. You're wearing a new suit, and you just look better. Why? Because when you got oil on you, that stench of friction has been removed. Now you're free to move about the cabin. Now you can walk around. The fasten seatbelt sign is off. Now you can go to your next dimension with freedom. I ain't getting stuck in what I used to get stuck in. Remember that old habit I used to have? I'm not doing crack no more. I ain't doing heroin no more. I ain't drinking like I used to drink. I ain't doing those things that I used to do and looking at things I shouldn't be looking at. I done slipped through that stuff. So now I'm improving my performance. Now everybody you talk to comes to church. Now everybody you talk to gets saved. Why? Because you improved your performance. But I can't stay there because I'm almost out of time. Keep going. It resists thermal breakdown. Oh, Lord, I could stay here and preach all day right here. Y'all make it so easy to preach to. It resists thermal breakdown. What is thermal breakdown? I'm glad you asked me. It's when an engine gets too hot and causes a chemical reaction in the oil. And it causes itself to start degrading the oil. It starts making the weight of the oil change. You used to have enough. When the storms of life hit now and the heat's on, if you don't have a fresh oil, it begins to break down. But when you got a fresh oil, it don't matter how hot it gets, baby. You can run and not get weary. You can walk and not faint. You can keep moving forward, and there ain't no devil in the world that can stop what God has placed on the inside of you. And when you begin to move, you say, but it's getting hot in here. Look, I'm sweating, but I still got the oil, so I ain't worried about it because I know what God is. But have you ever heard this, Pastor? Life has just burnt me out. I would volunteer, but I'm just burnt out. We got quiet up in here. You hear that? I'm not talking about y'all. I'm talking about another place where he went and ministered. I'm just burnt out. Can I just share something with you? You need to write this down, somebody. Burnout don't come from overexertion. It comes from a lack of oil. So if what you're doing is burning you out, it's only because you don't have the oil flowing in your system to keep you moving in the right direction. Have you ever noticed when you got the Spirit of God in operation in your life, you ain't tired? You go to Pastor Josh and say, what can I do now? What we got to do now? Oh, we need to pack up something? Let's go. Oh, we need to go help somebody else in a smaller church that needs some help. What are we going to do? Let's go. Why? Oh, you need me to work overtime? Yeah, I got it, some oil. I can do that. See, some of y'all have been praying for provision, and God's been opening overtime, but you're like, no, I'm too burnt out. And God's saying, I've tried to open the door for you to get some more money, but all you've been doing is saying, I'm burnt out. But it's not an overexertion. It's just because you've lost your joy. Just hang on. Is this too real? I'm sorry. Pastor said I could be real. I'm sorry. I do apologize. Take it up with him. Okay, listen. Just joking. It will resist thermal breakdown. When life gets too hot, the first thing the enemy does is try to take the weight of the oil down. But I've got news for you. You guys live up in the north. You know there are certain seasons that take a different weight of oil. Because if not, it gets stuck in the engine and causes sludge. What God is saying, I came to pour fresh oil on Victory Church for a now season. Because the oil you had to reach the 4,300 was great, but there's still 6,400 that we're trying to reach. So I'm pouring a new oil on you to reach the 6,400. Because your 4,300 was great, but it's only the beginning. I've already given you a tithe of what I want to give you, but I came here. Is this thing on? Because I'm talking to you too. Because what flows from the head down, this is Victory Church. I'm not talking to pastor. I'm talking to Victory Church. See, that's good. We always say, oh God, that's great. Pour it on the church. No, when you are the church. These walls are not the church. The vision's not inside the walls. The vision's outside the walls. So everywhere you go to mission field the day you step out that door. Oh, I knew I was popular right there. I knew I was going to get some amens right there. Because God is saying, I'm about to pour something on you, Victory Church, that's going to be a now thing. We're not waiting for revival. We're not waiting for things to happen. We're not waiting until somebody else said it's time. God says glory is falling now. The Spirit of God is in here. I feel it all over me. But the problem is, unless you take the cap off and change the oil, you can't pour new oil into old engines. You say, yes, you can. Not if you still have the plug in. Because the new oil gets with the old oil, and the old oil begins to contaminate the new oil. And what used to run fine now is... So what God is saying is, we're going to drain the old, and we're about to pour in some new. You say, but I like the old. I'm not talking about old times. I'm talking about oil. I'm talking about Spirit of God. I like the way things happened yesterday, but I'm so excited for what's happening today. I don't worry about what happened yesterday. I came to what happened today. Now, you can bring your experience with you. You just don't bring the oil with you. Well, let's mess somebody's theology up right there. Let's keep going so you don't throw stuff at me. Oh, I'm out of time. Okay, I'm sorry. Can I say my last point? It says it protects you against harmful deposits. Some of y'all still on that last point. You want me to explain it to you again? About the old oil? I'm not talking about old systems. I'm not talking about old revival. I'm talking about we can't live yesterday. We can bring yesterday's experience, but we can't live back there. Because those that live in yesterday have no vision for tomorrow. And Victory Church is not a yesterday church, it's a now church. Is that okay? I just want to make sure, because y'all looked at me like, oh, you had me to there. Harmful deposits. Did you know that your engine, if you let the oil sit in it too long, it starts picking up things with it that begins to clog the flow of the oil? Things like what? Well, depression, oppression,
anger,
hatred. But if you've got something on you, when people try to come and try to pour all that stuff into you, it's not going to work. When somebody tried to tell you that God hadn't changed your life, when you got a new oil on you, they have no place there. The things you used to do are gone when you get a new oil. Remember, the oil is a spirit of God. The Spirit of God comes to replace the old spirit that was there. So the old spirit of doubt, the old spirit of confusion, the old spirit of addiction, the old spirit of gossip, it's now overtaken with something fresh. Now when people see you, they don't run from you. They run to you. So what I want to tell you about the sheep, I'm not going to pour nothing on you again. The last thing you got to remind yourself about the sheep, they wouldn't get stuck in old things. They wouldn't get stuck in the rocks. The oil would come down and seep in the cuts. But they also poured it on them because they knew that parasites would try to burrow themselves into the skin of the sheep and taint their blood. The enemy tries to get things to come into your life to barrel down in your skin to taint the blood of Christ that's in your life. He tries to make you think those old thoughts that you used to do, those old ways that you used to live. And the number one parasite he uses is guilt. He tries to make you think that you're less than when God says you're greater than. He tries to tell you that you're low, worth nothing when God says you're a Rolls Royce, baby. I'm here to let somebody know, I don't know who I'm talking to today, but somebody has been wondering this week, does anybody think I have value? I'm here to tell you that God says you're valuable. I'm out of time, Pastor. Can I just tell you one more thing? Everybody bow their head and close their eyes. Because what I feel in my spirit is there's victory in the house for you. Somebody came in here saying, I don't know what I'm going through, and I don't know if I can make it through it. But I came to tell you that God wants to pour his spirit on you. And God wants to pour fresh oil on you. The things you used to be, you're not going to be anymore. He's going to pour a fresh oil on you to live your life brand new. And if that's you and you want a fresh oil poured on you, there was a man named Jesus who died over 2,000 years ago on a cross. And he shed his blood for you that it may come on your life like an oil that will protect your engine from ever being stuck again. If you want to give your life to that man named Jesus and change your life today from defeat into victory, or from struggle and friction into flowing in victory, on the count of three, I want you to raise your hand. One, two, three. If that's you, raise your hand. I see hands going all up the building.